station where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Memories of Interzone.
That's what some people do, they just pour lead in
them. Well, here in the Mitre Pub in the centre of Brighton, I'm with a good old friend of mine, David Pringle, who's a science fiction editor and an academic, really studies science fiction. He's wrote a very good book about the 100 best SF novels. And David's been in Scotland for a while, but he used to edit Interzone magazine for, I think, a record number of years. So, hi, David, nice to see you again. And what's it like to be back in Brighton?
Hello, Peter. It's great to be back in Brighton.
Is this your old haunt here?
I spent many happy years here. Lived here from 1982 till 2004.
Right.
22 years. And during that entire period, I was the editor, well, one of the chief editors of Interzone.
Yeah, with Colin Green then, wasn't it?
There were a few other people. It was jointly edited at the beginning by a number of people, including myself. And then after a while, I became the main editor.
Yeah.
22 years, quite a long span.
That's quite a modern style of science fiction. You say it's a bit like New Worlds, that type of genre.
Well, we started off trying to be New Worlds Reborn, under a different name, as it were, and different people. But we ended up, I'm not boasting too much by saying it became, it had its own character, it became its own magazine, Interzone. It became a science fiction brand in a way of its own and helped revive British SF in the late 1980s and 1990s especially.
So who were some of the authors you published, David?
Oh, well, there's numerous people who became quite well known within the science fiction field that we published first, like Stephen Baxter and Kim Newman and many, many others, Eric Brown and Nicola Griffith, and I could name about a dozen, but there were quite a number.
And the magazine is still continuing under different editions.
Yes, it's now edited by and published by Andy Cox, who's the man I passed it on to in 2004.
Yeah.
And he has kept it going as a bi-monthly.
Yeah.
It's still appearing.
Yeah. So these legendary meetings in the Mitre Pub, was that something you instigated as a kind of... I was always to see the advert in the back of the magazine. Brighton area readers, please come down.
The Friday night pub meetings actually started before...
Hare and Hounds, I think.
Before Interzone and Away, but I moved to Brighton in 1982 and Pete Garrett was a great friend of mine.
Oh yes, and I used to know Pete.
Yes, he died unfortunately in 2004, the same year I gave up Interzone.
Yeah.
And he suggested we go along to a certain pub and I'd meet a couple of his friends.
Okay.
They were Andy Robertson and Ken Brown. And basically the Friday night started from there.
And they continued for quite a while, didn't they?
Oh, yes, for a long, long time. But not in the Mitre to begin with, but we eventually came to the Mitre.
Do you know what
a very friendly, small pub.
Yes, which, where we're here now.
Which is pretty much unchanged. We're in it right this minute.
No, not the legendary room where we used to go.
No.
Which is taken over by a folk group tonight.
The back room, yeah.
Yeah. What year did you first come to the Mitre, do you know?
I couldn't specify exactly, but it was probably in the late 1980s sometime.
Okay, so I first came here in 1999. I had seen the magazine before that, but I came here in 1999. I've been to for a while, and I remember meeting you and Andy at the time and selling him some conspiracy zine I published. And it's a very welcoming group, and it was great to meet all of you. And
there's
a lot of really good... writers, when Harry Harrison came here, didn't he?
On good nights, we'd have up to 15 people or so. And, on a normal night, maybe less than that, 6 or 8 or 10.
Yeah.
But we had Harry Harrison as our most prominent member.
Yes, that's right.
Towards the end, because he moved to Rotting Dean, and unfortunately he died last year. But He was great fun, Harry. He used to come along in his 80s. He used to come along and join in on a Friday night, and that was wonderful.
Yeah. I think the film Silent Green, for our listeners, was based on Harry Harrison's story. I think Make Room, or I may be wrong.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so our readers are probably more familiar with cinema, listeners, I mean.
And he's well known for things like Death World and the Stainless Steel Rat.
Oh, that's a very big
and numerous brand, short stories for many magazines over the years.
Yeah.
He was one of the most consistent, long-lasting science fiction writers.
Yeah, and this magazine with Sherazade used to be published, and they used to come along, didn't Liz Williams?
Yes, Liz Cunahan.
Liz Cunahan, yes.
Liz Williams was a writer who wrote for Interzone and for other magazines, and still is writing, but she's moved away from Brighton. But Liz Cunahan and her sister Deirdre were the people who published Scheherazade.
And that was a slightly more fantasy-based, say, yes, five
a kind of fantasy magazine, but quite a good quality small press magazine.
It was. I've still got a few of those. Yeah. I had the interview with Christopher Priest in one of them, which I know Peter Garrett had a story in one he signed for me, which I've still got. Yeah.
Good old Peter Garrett wrote for many magazines, Interzone and others.
Yes. Was there ever a collection of Peter's stories?
No, it would be a good idea for a posthumous collection to arrive, to appear.
I went to his funeral, I think he did too.
He was only 54 when he suddenly died, sadly. But he was quite a talented writer.
He was, Well, David, have you got any more future plans? Are you still going to be involved in the science fiction scene? I hope you are.
Well, I'm still marginally involved, but not running a magazine anymore. I feel as though I'm a bit out of it, but I'm still interested.
Good, good. Okay, well, this is a kind of science fiction medium podcast. I guess they didn't exist in the old days. Do you think science fiction was good at predicting the future, or do you think it's the writers had a bit of an inside angle occasionally?
In some ways they were, in some ways they weren't. I mean, the computer revolution and the whole sort of media, the internet and the media thing was kind of under-predicted by science fiction writers. Yeah. Yeah. But a few of them got it right, but most of them... it's odd, you know, to read some old science fiction stories where they have people sending letters to each other on the moon or whatever.
I think we expected a bit more of the space travel angle. That didn't quite happen like the Arthur C. Clarke style. That we've got the shuttle that got in mothballs now, yet we've got more... computer technology, like you say, but maybe we're falling back in the exploration of space, and maybe J.G. Ballard had it right when he was saying that the old Cape Canaveral was kind of almost a dinosaur steam age type of scenario.
Yeah, he was right, essentially. I mean, I'd like to think a space age is still happening and going to happen and will develop enormously. But, he was essentially right that particular phase of the 60s, 70s space age as we knew it was... kind of old technology and doomed to fade away, which it has.
Second World War rocket technology, and unless we got better technology for lifting vehicles, we're not going to do it with chemical rockets, are we, really?
No, but there has been a breakthrough recently announced in lifting vehicles into Earth orbit, so let's hope that works.
Okay, David, really nice to talk to you. I've got half a pint to knock back before they throw us outside. I better end it there. Okay, great.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.